percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
So many topics and so little time, so we're going to dig right in. Hi there. Thanks for listening. Hope you had a chance to check out some of the archives. I've really, really got a lot of wonderful variety in the archives. This time, I wanted to kind of take a step back and showcase just a few of the topics I've got here. But first, I was in an accident. Yeah. One of those things where you're just sitting at a stoplight and somebody decides that they're going to go, even though you're in front of them, along with another car or two. So whoever was behind us decided to hit the gas, and we had just barely started moving, so I got whiplash. The dogs were fine. My husband's fine. He had the steering wheel to kind of buffer it. But it was quite a connect. So I wanted to do my own version of getting this thing taken care of ASAP. And floating KC, this is what I've talked about before. But I didn't really have this perspective in terms of pain to add to the equation. And I wanted to just kind of give you a heads up. Now, each person deals with this in their own way. And I am not a doctor, but I do have experience in getting rid of some of my aches and pains in novel ways. And a lot of it also has to do with meditation. But this, which kind of transcends all the other things, gets you out of your lockstep mentality when you go in there and you experience the float. The deal is it's anti-gravity. So you are supported in salt water, Epsom salts. And what happens as that happens, your body relaxes, the muscles all relax. And I knew what I felt immediately was a tension. And it was okay that first night, but the second night really kicked in. And by Monday morning when I went in for the float, and it was amazing because usually the time you have to wait a little while. It was open. I thought, okay, timing's good. So after having and knowing the pain was continuing, I went in for the float. And within hours, that all of the tension and discomfort and the headaches that I had the first with the initial 48 hours were gone. Now, before then, I did take an Aleve, a couple of Aleves. I did do that. And I also, my husband was helpful. He massaged, and we have the little, an electronic, looks like a frog massage thing. But that wasn't going to change it. I was really uncomfortable Sunday night. So Monday morning was a relief. Anyway, floating KC, if you have not been to any kind of a float before, they're rooms. They're not the tank. It's a float room. And prior to that, you sit in a chair. They call it the anti-gravity chair. And so you get a muscle, a relaxation, you know, a muscle massage that way. Now, I also deal with a massage therapist, and that helps with any residual tension. And that was the next step. But the first step made a huge difference. So I wanted to say, if you have ever had anything, you know, sports pains, those kinds of things, they have been getting tremendous results and accolades for the benefits for people who have post-traumatic stress, that it's just a way to go in and decompress. And I will say, after having that experience with a whiplash, it was phenomenal. So anyway, Floating KC, I can't say enough about it. They do offer a 30% discount if you're a first-time trier, investigator, explorer. But if you want to relax, that's it. The shows I wanted to focus on, Gary Wimmer. Gary Wimmer is a psychic, an incredibly gifted psychic. He was a psychic before this happened to him. One day he was out walking and he was given kind of a little bit of a precursor and a warning. And then he was hit by a car. Okay. So he had his near-death experience. And at the point that he had this, he was having these incredible, intense, overwhelming psychic experiences. He was knowing way too much. And he said, make it stop, make it go away. And that's when the car hit. So with that, he has all these experiences of psychic awareness. All right, so Gary Wimmer, these people, you can all look them up, Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot. I've done interviews, and I also have included their contact information, or you can just go to their webpage. Russell Brinegar, he's a near-death experiencer. He was out mowing the lawn, and he felt it coming on. He felt a shift. He felt a little bit of a twinge, and then he was looking at himself from the other perspective. He was out, and he knew he was having a heart attack, and but he couldn't stop it. He's there. So when he meets this higher version of himself, then he's also introduced to higher versions of other people who are still living, and they're all kind of together having this little, you know, chat, like, what's happening? Hey, are you hanging in there? Okay, so those are one area. The other area, and it's great because I just picked up a magazine in Deep Wood Strangers talking about Brian Schlifkes, I probably butchered the name, the backwoodsman, talking about his experience in the deep woods and hearing when he was sleeping out, you know, under the stars, beautiful, these children laughing and playing and drums beating. And the other two people he was with, they didn't hear anything, didn't have that experience. And then at the same time, when he was trying to go to sleep, got a shove from out of nowhere. He's like, okay, fine. He had a really long night, he said. Okay, Sasquatch, psychic Sasquatch. Not that that was, but there are other entities that are around us 24/7. And it's okay. You don't have to believe, because when it happens, it's like, okay, fine. Nobody else can tell you. It's like, all right. But Kelly and Kiwani Lapsaritis talk about the psychic Sasquatch and the difference that it is on a different dimension. That's why it isn't one of these big fuzzy things you can shoot with a bow and arrow. Okay. And by the way, if you do that, you're not going to see them, because they have this thing about them that's called telepathy. All right. So getting into that, then another guest, we're not going to do the preview. Kathleen Odom. I do have an interview, and she is the source behind the movie Letters from the Big Man. They consulted her because she's had experiences with Sasquatch, and they say, don't call him Bigfoot. That's just really disgusting, and it's a slam. So Sasquatch. But, you know, that we use the names we're familiar with. There are some other things, other topics. When you have these experiences, just trust there is a reason that you're getting this information, or that it's coming to you in the way that it is. I've had experiences with pets, psychic, and after, having an awareness imprinted so that I have this telepathic connection, and an after death, a deceased pet who, when he died, this is always traumatic when you lose a pet, but I knew he'd be okay, but I still wanted that confirmation and said, please, please, please let me know you're okay. And I felt his spirit, his energy, essence rush through me, because I had my forehead to his head as he was passing, and it rushed. It was like, wow. And then he barked at the back door for 2 weeks. I thought it was my other dog. No, it was him. And then he went to visit my mom, because she helped bury him with me. We dug the hole together, and he was always one of her best buds. And he barked at her bedroom door. The cats came in from the outside when they heard the first bark. They thought the dog was outside, because he initially, that was where it came from. And then it came from outside her door. And it was Max saying, it's okay, which is what I asked for. All right. So all this stuff is a part of our reality. Okay. Experience it, explore it, question everything you think you know. There's more going on under the surface. That's where the magic happens. That's where the unknown speaks. That's where the really cool stuff lives, between the cracks. And we are the light shining through. All right, stick around. Good show's coming up. Wendy's Coffee House.
You think psychics know when things are happening. That isn't always the case. However, okay, Gary, for some reason, is AWOL. Now, he did say, when we were booking the interview, that he might have a baby shower. And he had been booked. But he wasn't booked, and he said he would confirm. So, Cody Lee is trying desperately to get Gary on the phone. And what happens sometimes is when this kind of derails, there's a reason for it. So I will give you a little bit of background about why Gary is so unique and so amazing. Back in, I don't have the time and dates for all of the things that happened, but maybe 77 or so, he was experiencing things that all of a sudden changed his viewpoint. He was at one point sitting in a bar, and he knew the person, he was saying he wished he wasn't there, and he knew the person who was coming in. All of a sudden, he was out, and he could see the two people, what they were wearing, as they were coming into the bar where he was seated. And at that moment, something jarred him back to being there, sitting in at the bar. And so he did this two or three times, and then he told a friend. He said, "I know who's coming in." And the friend thought he cheated, but he was able to pull it off two or three times. And things began to progressively happen where he expanded, and he would know about people. He could hear their thoughts. He had these incredible experiences that didn't make sense. And when these kind of things start happening, you think you're losing your mind. Some people would call it a Kundalini awakening, because all of a sudden your psychic stuff just goes into overdrive, and it's incredible. And it's there's really are a few places to go to get grounding for that. But the thing with this is that it continued, and as he's experiencing this, he's wondering what the heck to do with it. Is Gary on the line? Okay, I see the flashing here, so we'll go ahead and let him join in on the story. Hey, Gary, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I want to apologize to your audience. I was speeding on the way back from Wimberley.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, I was talking at a near-death convention there this afternoon, and I got a ticket.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, yeah. Sorry. But thank you for making it.
Yeah, I was just about to give you a ring. Like I said, when I first talked to you, I just walked in the door. So enough of that. My apologies. I'm sorry, audience. And it's a pleasure to be with you, my dear.
Oh, you're good. You're good. I was just beginning to tell people, and all I did was just a quick overview to say why you're so unique. And I just jumped in at the point where you were sitting in the bar and you're having the conversation. You were able to see people who were coming in and their vantage point, and then you kind of popped back to yourself, and you had a friend, you had a bet, and you could tell him that you could see these people, and he thought you were cheating somehow. But
right. I just outside something. Yeah, it was I'm not sure how much you told about my experience, but I assume you kind of gave some heads up to that.
I just dove right in there. So thank goodness you've got the best lowdown on this. So please give him a little more background on. You changed at that point of your life. So that's all they got.
This is I'll give about a 5-minute scenario, and then you could ask me some questions, and I could go into more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was always interested in psychic ability since college, questioning religion. I performed as a musician most of my life. In 1977, I quit a band, and that night, even that day, I'd felt things strange. I started feeling people saying things before they would say them. And this kind of freaked me out. I couldn't sleep that night. The next day, my roommate came in with the newspaper, and I saw the headlines through his eyes. He went to work. Both my roommates went to work. I started unpacking my things and could feel that I was taken back to where people had given me these items or poems or a little vase or whatever. I had just moved back into this place, so I was setting my stuff up. This was the first day, and by the second day, that night I went to the bar. Either that or the second night, I went to the bar, like I said, and was overwhelmed by what I was picking up. I walked down to the store, and all of a sudden I was picking up what everybody was thinking. And by that night, I was sitting at a bar stool, imagining taking a break outside, and all of a sudden I'm standing outside, and I see these people walking in, and they walked right through me, and it startled me, and I opened my eyes, and I'm back in the bar seat, and then they came through dressed as I'd just seen them, and I did that a couple times and thinking, wow, this is amazing. And my roommate came in, and I bet him some money. I could tell how the next people were dressed, which brings it up. I did it a couple times. He could no longer deal with it. He walked off. By the third or fourth day, this ongoing, escalating, psychic ability had taken me over. Now, I started getting readings in the early 70s. I've always been interested in this, but this was on, it was like there was a brick on the accelerator. I turned it off. I had no brake. I didn't know what button to push. But by the third day, life was completely different than anything I'd ever known, because I was in this state 24 hours a day. I'll give your listeners one example of some bizarre things that I felt. I got real close to one of my roommates. I had to talk to somebody about this. They both noticed I was acting very bizarre, and be able to, tell in advance who was going to call next, you know, tell the time people were going to come over, just tell everything.
Mm-hmm.
Hear a car coming up the road, and I could tell my roommate what color it was, and I could even describe the driver.
Wow.
And I even know what the driver was feeling, but I couldn't prove that.
Mm-hmm.
So by the fifth and sixth day, this was going to the point it was between the finest ecstasy I've ever known in my life and the most terrifying fear. And I walked that tightrope, I suppose I could say, for a solid 7-8 days. And at the end of this 8 days, it had gotten so intense that I'm walking down a street in Austin, and I'm crying, and I'm praying, and I'm scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this time, I had felt, but never seen, I'd felt the presence of these guardian angels, and they seemed to name themselves the monitors. I could feel them monitoring me.
Yeah.
Never saw them, but I could feel them at times. So I'm walking down this street at the eighth day, and praying and crying, and there's a lot of people on the street looking at me, wondering what the hell's going on. And suddenly I felt this incredible warmth, and fear just dissipated instantaneously, and I opened my eyes, and there's this huge light over my head. And I remember thinking if I had a ladder, I could touch it. It was 6 feet away, not seven, not three. You know, I looked around, and none of these people who had been staring at me, wondering what the hell's going on, they didn't see this.
Mm.
I couldn't believe they couldn't, but they didn't react to it at all. I looked back up at it,
mm-hmm.
and I saw these seven guardian angels. And they basically said in one voice, "Do you trust us?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I just don't understand what's going on." They said, "You will. Do you trust us?" I said, "Yes." And then I realized they're the monitors. I said, "You're the monitors. You're real." And they said, "Yes." Well, meanwhile, these people on the street see me talking to empty space.
Yeah.
And within seconds, to make a long story short, I was hit by a speeding car as a pedestrian. Instantly, I was outside of my body, looking back at this accident happening. Then I was expanding in all directions. I saw the whole Earth from 360 degrees, north, south pole, all parameter, all. It was like it was inside me, and I was expanding like a balloon. And within, pretty immediately, I had completely forgotten about me and my body and the car accident and everything. I was just expanding outward like the surface of a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
It was thrilling, to say the least.
Yeah.
It was an incredibly beautiful, empowering, enlightening experience. And I went through all the different planets. And I got to the edge of the universe and expanded beyond it and recognized it as a thought, a divine thought, not an actual creation, but it's real enough for us here.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a level that I call the colors. They seem to name themselves as such. Right at the edge of the universe that when souls come into the Earth, because I realized this instantaneously because I was expanding the same way souls come back. They collapse the edge of the universe inward and then to the point of birth.
Yeah.
But they go through this level called the colors that gives them the ability to use their senses and their mind and their consciousness awareness to be able to tap back into the infinity from which they just came or during their lifetime, so to speak. So anyway, I'm outside this universe, and I realize that there's infinite universes. And I see them like a star-studded sky, which in no time at all turned into a tunnel of light, and I'm being drawn through that tunnel of light. And that's the most beautiful description of it, because it actually looks like a tunnel of light. Like,
okay, Gary, we're going to have to stop, so take a break right now. That's a perfect spot. You're in the tunnel of light, and we're waiting with bated breath.
Let me know, girl. I'll be right here.
So many things to question. So many things that we would be better off if we just kind of step back a little bit before we had the answer or went for the answer and thought, well, maybe what if there's another possible explanation? And sometimes the explanations just aren't exactly what you had hoped for because they don't make any better sense. Disclosure, The Gift Project, Russell Brinegar is on there, one of the YouTubes that you can watch about people who are talking about experiences they've had in either a near-death experience or an ET encounter, that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of information coming out now, and I think it's fantastic that people are sharing and that this is a project that you can, if you've had these experiences, you can just say, hey, this is what happened to me, take it for what it's worth. But in addition to doing the video, my guest has also written a book talking about his incredible experience during an NDE, meeting himself, Russell Brinegar. Hi there, Russell. Thank you. I'm glad to finally talk with you.
Hello. Glad to talk with you.
How did you get connected with FREE to start out with, the group, the experiencer group?
It's through Facebook. I initially, when I wrote the book and published it, I put a little picture of the front cover on Sergeant Clifford Stone's wall. He was kind enough to let me do that. And then I was contacted by Dr. Sasha Lesson and Janet with Aquarian Radio, and we did a show on that. And then one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, I'm in touch with all these Facebook experiencer groups, and I'm having a great time with it. And as you just said, it's pretty fantastic, you know, that everybody, we've gone from the age of ridicule and fearing for loss of job or loss of friends and family to saying, hey, there's something beyond all of our comprehension going on here, and we all need to talk about it because it's happening to millions of people.
Well, the name of the group, it's called FREE, the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. Experiencer.org is how it started out. And I found out about it when they were originally, I talked with Mary Rodwell, and she's the head of the Australian UFO, basically. Anything that happens UFO, Mary was privy to. And so I had interviewed with her about 3 or 4 years ago. And then she said, I'm going to be part of this special group. And I can't say anything about it. It's hush-hush, but it's going to happen. And then when she said, okay, it involves Edgar Mitchell and Rudy Shields, it's a lot of the people who have signed on are serious researchers, and they want to know as much as they possibly can the connections with somebody who has these kinds of experiences. And a lot of it, the thing that I, in my own experience, there was a lot of paranormal activity. Nobody ever talked about that. It didn't enter into it. I don't know if they just intentionally excluded it or it didn't come up. But that was one of the things that I thought was so refreshing, finally, to hear people talking about these other things that happened in addition to a sighting or an encounter. You know, that was, to me, a nice change of pace. And with your experience, it's very unique. From a lot of the people I've talked to, this is something that I've heard more about, you know, in an out-of-body experience. But so I guess, before I, you know, go too far, what happened to you that you are sharing with the video? Because this is, I think, a fascinating story.
Okay, well, I was just living my life as a material reductionist. I accepted the standard scientific paradigm for 54 years of my life that consciousness was a byproduct of the physical brain. And, you know, when you died, there was just unconsciousness, and that was it. And in August 18th of 2009, that completely changed. The day started out as a normal day. I went to work. I'm an occupational therapist in a nursing home, and I wanted to mow my grass when I went home. So I clocked out and went home and fired up the lawnmower, and I took about 15 steps. It was a nice hot day. And just was overwhelmed with a sensation of a really peculiar type of fatigue that I'd never felt before. And the first thing I thought was that I was dehydrated. So I just I stopped the mower and went inside and turned on the air conditioning. There's a little sensation of nausea along with it, and I was flip-flopping on my bed trying to get comfortable. And I started to feel a little bit better. And like a dummy, I went out there to finish the yard and pulled the string and took another 15 steps, and the same sensation came right back, only about 10 times stronger. And then, because I have a background in healthcare, I mean, I figured out, it hit me, it dawned on me what was happening. I was having a heart attack. So I just figured I was a goner. And I had a strange sensation of curiosity, because even though I was always an agnostic and everything, I was still curious if anything lied beyond the grave. And it, since I was going to find out, I might as well just embrace it. So I started kind of circling around like a dog does in the grass when he's trying to do his business, because I didn't want to lay on gravel. And I just thought, you know, what a great day to pass, you know, because the sun was out and I was just going to lay down and, you know, find a comfortable place in the grass and go. And then something really strange happened and came over to me. I later learned that this is called, referred to as the Oz factor, but it was almost like I was, time was altered a little bit, and it was dead silent, and the car stopped, and the bird stopped, and it was just pure science. And it was almost like, it reminded me of a computer, like Googling Russ is dying into a computer, and then associated links started popping up, because these familiar entities started showing up around me. I didn't see them with my eyes, but I knew who some of them were, and I could sense a familiarity about them. And one showed up, and then two, and then pretty soon there was just a little collection. And the strangest thing of all was that one of the familiar entities that was with me was a transcended version of myself, and that just kind of blew me away. And I instantly realized that there's only a portion of my consciousness invested in this earthly life, that beyond the veil, there's a timeless realm where, you know, you're aware of maybe everything you've ever been or everything you ever will be. I don't know the extent of it exactly, but as near as I can tell, it was a realm of sort of like intelligent lightning, where it was a collective consciousness field, and at the same time was able to individuate into personalities that I would recognize. And I was presented with a very strange feeling that they welcomed me with open arms, you know, if I decided to cross the veil. It was just, all I had to do is like walk through a sheer curtain and I'd be with them. And I knew it was permanent, you know, mm-hmm, as yeah. regarding to this life. But I got a strange feeling that this life is very valuable and very fragile, and maybe I should stick around a little bit longer. And one of the strange things is, among the many strange things, was that an estranged girlfriend of mine that I'd kind of not seen for about a year was one of the entities that was there. And it's like, wow, she's here too. And I was so fascinated by this whole experience that I just took a couple of seconds to think about it, and I decided that I wanted to live a little bit longer in this physical form with this new paradigm, you know, with this new, now that I know that there is definitely something beyond the grave, I wanted to live a little bit longer in this life with that understanding. So I just instantly decided to do that, went inside, got the keys to my car, and drove myself to the hospital. And I knew I wouldn't die on the way to the hospital because I just made that choice. And I just calmly handed the keys over to the guy at the desk, and he parked my car for me. And they put me in a wheelchair and wheeled me to a room and said that the hospital wasn't really designed to handle heart attacks, so they took me up to Ball. So back out in the sun I go on a stretcher and into an ambulance with the siren going. And then when I during the trip, it was interesting because there was a couple of EMTs there, and they were looking at my monitor with these worried looks on their faces, and I kind of felt sorry for them. So I told them a story of the previous weekend where I got bit on an ankle by a bee, and I heard the guy say under his breath, he'll think bee sting when he gets to that cath lab. Oh. And I didn't really know what he was talking about, but when I arrived at Ball, the doctors were ready to go, scrubbed up, and it gave me the choice between a quadruple bypass and a couple of stents, and I had them give me the rundown to it and selected the stents. So all this time, I'm thinking about this really oddball experience that I had, you know, as I approached this Y on the road, whether to go ahead and cross or stay here, and the stents went in, and I've been fine ever since.
See, that's what's so amazing, is that you were so coherent during the whole time.
Yeah, it was surprising to me because in the old paradigm, when you think death is permanent, you would think that when it actually came upon me that it would be scary, but mm-hmm. it wasn't. And especially when the cosmos kind of opened up for me and gave me a little glimpse of beyond the grave, you know, there's a lot going on the other side. And it really was a bewildering thing, and there hasn't been a day go by since 2009 that I haven't thought of that day and thought of that experience and wondered what the ramifications of it were. And it really prompted me on a journey into the researching into the paranormal and into UFOs. Anybody that researches the paranormal will eventually land on ufology because it's connected, intimately connected. You know, you run across books like Kenneth Ring, The Omega Project, where he connected the similarities between near-death experiences and alien abductions. And I'm kind of like, And what the sense that I get is that contact with non-human intelligences throughout the entire universe has already been made, but it's been made through the discarnate realm, and that's kind of surprising, you know, because everybody expects the flying saucers to land on the White House lawn, but they've already connected with humanity through a different aspect of their psyche in the discarnate realm, like in between lifetimes. And this would, to me, explain all the cases of children who say they are from the sky. And I know somebody in my family right now that's saying that. She's about 2 or 3 years old, and she talks about the sky people. And Sergeant Clifford Stone related to me his childhood experiences of having imaginary friends that appeared human, and then one of them showed his true appearance, and it was actually like a little green, gray alien-type creature that pointed out that he was from another realm.
We're going to stop right here. Got to take a break because this stuff's getting really good. All right, and we're going to continue with my guest, Russell Brinegar, and what he talks about is even more fascinating with the UFO intelligences and the quest for transcendence. Next, Wendy's Coffee House. Stick around. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House. I know, the Eagles. Background to Hitchhiker's Guide. I love that. Love the show, love the music, love the idea. The whole nine yards. My guest was a consultant for the indie film Letters from the Big Man. If you have not seen it, you actually can see the whole thing on YouTube. And it talks about Sasquatch. It talks about, and it's gorgeous, it's filmed in the Oregon wilderness, and it talks about some of it's, you know, an experience that maybe you could have, and Kathleen definitely, from the time she was little, has had the connection there. I wanted to talk about the NDE that got you back, kind of, you know, redirected your path, if you could start with that.
What would you like to know about it, Wendy?
Obviously, you're still here. Did you get a direction? Did it say you have to do this or you might do this or what? Because you changed. You changed.
Oh, yeah. It was a life transformational experience, no question about it. I had had a spirit medicine practice, sort of a part-time one until then. But after the near-death experience, it was in a hospital in Hawaii where it happened. But I really was shown how to work with the light and in my practice, in the context of my practice. And so, I mean, I came out of that experience just, you know, a totally changed person. And that's when I retired from my mainstream business career and got into spirit medicine full time. And shortly after that, I discovered shamanic work and just took like a duck, you know, duck takes to water with that. I just totally knew I had come home with the shamanic work. So I studied with the Foundation for Shamanic Studies and also Sandra Ingerman in Santa Fe, and I specialize in soul retrieval with and without the assistance of Sasquatch people at this point. I incorporated them after several years, and the near-death experience was just, it changed my life. I don't know how it would be different if I hadn't had that, but it's pretty wonderful after having it, although the experience itself was a bit traumatic at the onset, but it was beautiful, and I learned how to work with the light, and that is what the Sasquatch teach also. So it's no coincidence that we've worked closely together in the last 10 or 12 years.
You call them interdimensional. Is that a good word?
Yes, they are interdimensional. Yep.
And so that means if somebody goes out there, they may or may not see them or see them partway, or they can just immediately disappear or appear.
Yeah, it does mean that. That's exactly it. I've sort of learned, and as my practice has matured, learned that it really has to do with a lot to do with the consciousness or the beginning consciousness of the human. They rarely show themselves to someone who is not at least tweaked an opening in their heart. It's all about heart with them, about being in your heart. In fact, they don't hear you or even connect with you in any way if you're not in your heart. And so that's what I work with people a lot, is learning how to be in their heart so they can maximize their connection with the Sasquatch people, because they have so much to teach us, and we benefit from opening our heart to them.
Was that part of the issue with your health issue?
Was what part of my health issue?
Did that heart have anything to do with your health issue?
No.
I'm just curious, because sometimes people have a heart attack and all of a sudden, you know, they come back and they're like, oh man, you know, I'm just, all of a sudden I feel so much more appreciative and grateful and lucky, fortunate, whatever, you know, loving, than it's a transformation that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, I did all that. I experienced all of that as a result of the near-death experience. The you know, the attitude of gratitude and everything that you're speaking of, it wasn't because my heart did stop, but it wasn't from a cardiology standpoint.
Yeah, it was just one of those issues.
I had been injected with a substance I was highly allergic to, and I died.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprise. Anyway. Surprise. Well, but then again, you came back and you redirected. When you deal with people, because you consult and you talk, you're a practitioner. And as we're talking here, let's give out SasquatchSpeaks@gmail.com. If you want to schedule a session with Kathleen, you can do that anytime. SasquatchSpeaks@gmail.com. And you also do, there's a podcast or a vlog on YouTube, Speaking of Sasquatch.
Right. It's on the Fur and Cedar channel. It's one that I've co-anchored for probably, I don't think we have 8 episodes on there, but Chris and I, he was the producer, writer, director of Letters from the Big Man, the film that you mentioned. I think it was filmed in 2010 or 11. But we got to be friends and everything, but we decided we'd like to do a podcast different from what the other podcasts or YouTubes that you see, and there's just multitudinous ones on the Internet about Sasquatch. But we wanted one where we shared the precise words of the Sasquatch, not when we're sitting there for a half hour chewing the fat about Sasquatch. And that's what I say. I don't speak for the Sasquatch. They speak through me. And so I don't go mainstream and just chat about Sasquatch. I want to keep their words pure, and I do so in the process of my practice. I can explain that later if you'd like me to. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, and I put a quote, Sasquatch opening hearts one human at a time.
Right. That's what they're doing.
Well, and so part of this has to do with, like the example in the film Letters from the Big Man, where she goes out into the wilderness on her own, completely and totally isolated from all the, you know, all of the normal stuff that we put up with every day, email and technology, yeah, which makes this really helpful. And then she reconnects. And as she does that, it's the place is just beautiful, by the way. That area, that place where she's at, is beautiful country. But it's a different way of being and a more down-to-earth and I guess empathic connection you have as you're out there forced to kind of rely on your own instinct, your own intuition to feel your way.
Right. Well, you're connected with all the wild things out there. It's a lot easier to do when you're out in the forest like she was. He filmed it in southwestern Oregon, mostly a lot in the Rogue Valley. But, I mean, the videography on that film is exceptional. It really is incredible. But she experienced the Sasquatch out there. It was quiet, and they chose, for whatever reason, to connect with her on a heart level. And I think it shows in the film, as it progresses towards the end of the film, I mean, it changed her life. And it does change people's lives. When you are in the presence of the Sasquatch, or you can feel them around, it doesn't have to always be when they're fully materialized. It doesn't have to be when they're just, you're standing here next to you. They can be next to you, and you don't see them. But when you are in their presence like that, there is a radiance from them. And I've heard literally hundreds of people or hundreds of testimonials about how wonderful, I mean, wonderful is not the right word, but you feel when you're in their presence. And it's like a warmth from the inside out. It's a radiance that, I've said, it's like the difference between a wood stove heating you on the inside and electric heat trying to heat the room, but you never get warm kind of thing. And it's just incredible to be in their presence.
You're familiar with the film, the Patterson-Gimlin film that was about 50 years ago now. Have you've seen that or seen the pictures from that?
Yes, I'm very aware of that film.
And that, they say that's never been disproved. Is that similar to what a Sasquatch looks like?
Yeah, that's a real film. That's a real film. I don't know. Yeah, that is. It is real. It is real. I've done quite a bit of telepathic sacred space work around that film. I don't feel at liberty to really share it too much in it.
Well,
interview, but it is, I know quite a bit about what happened there.
Well, and that's the thing here. The guys who took the film never backed down from it. I think one of them is Bob is still alive. Roger died, and it's changed his life too.